Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 12:37 Pacific Summer Time. Well, today is March 11th, and this is just another day where the euro has been particularly weak. But I guess the other way of looking at it is that the dollar remains the strongest currency in the world. Well, we haven't been able to say that for a very long time. And the dollar has been surging for the last 3 or 4 months, so that, today the euro was weaker by 1.59 cents. The pound dropped below 150, and it's at 149.31 as I speak. But that really what you're seeing is broad-based dollar strength. Well, the euro is in free fall. It's at 105.39 as I speak. That you really are watching it and it's just going down a cent a day. That it was at just a little bit, a shade under 107 yesterday, and a shade under 108 the day before. It's down 10 cents in the last 3 weeks. That it's falling towards parity. Well, when the euro was at 125, 130, 140, people would have looked at parity and thought that that was a long way off. The question now is whether it'll stop there. Well, certainly there's a short-term oversold condition, and it is worth considering just why that is the case. Well, you look at the yield on German 10-year bonds, the Bunds, and they have contracted in terms of the yield. They've halved in the last 3 days. It was at 0.4%, and it is now at 0.2%. Swiss 10-year yields are already in negative territory. Well, obviously they're not in the eurozone, but there is no reason to anticipate that the German 10-year can't go to negative territory, not least when the euros, the ECB is purchasing them. Well, the ECB is going to print 60 billion euros of currency on a monthly basis for the next 18 months and started on Monday. The yield on the Italian 10-year is 1.12%. Well, 1.12% for the bonds of Italy when US 10-years yield north of 2% is really quite an extraordinary circumstance. So it just goes to show that where are the ECB's levers being targeted at? And then compare to those where yields are not contracting, and then Greece really does stand out because Greek yields were higher today. Well, you look at the chart and you have a progression of higher reaction lows, and you have a medium term progression of lower rally highs that has been broken. If it was any other chart, you'd be saying, well, that looks like it is going to go north from here. Well, if that's the case, then you can't just simply say, will Greece end up having to leave the euro? But it's really a question of when. That the demands that have been imposed upon the country in order to comply with the detail of the agreement with the bailout troika are so onerous that even with the best will in the world, they are in just a lot of deep water in terms of how they're actually going to be able to achieve those goals. It's all well and good to talk about the demands of trying to balance the budget, but what you're talking about are people. And well, people are volatile and people are can often be reactionary. So I think it is really open to question as to whether Greece can stay within the euro, regardless of whether it wants to or not, that it's going to require some pretty steep concessions if the country is going to stay within the euro. Well, considering that the ECB is printing currency and this remains very much an open question, then you don't have to look very far for the reasons for why the euro is going down at such a prodigious rate. In the event that Greece actually does have to leave the euro, well, then you'd anticipate that when you cut off a gangrenous limb, that the rest of the body recovers, and I think that that would probably be the case for the euro, that it would strengthen in the event that it loses one of its weaker members. Well, with the dollar so very strong, it's put pressure on precious metals. That gold today is fell down to test the $1,150 area. Well, platinum had broken down last week and extended its decline in here today. It was down $11, and this is a new reaction low for the move, and it's currently closing out the day at $1,118. Well, silver is weak, and palladium, which had really been a stalwart, had broken out last week, and it's looking increasingly likely that this is a failed upside break. Well, if it's a failed upside break, then $750 is probably the next area of potential support. Well, it then opens up the door that is this a short-term oversold condition on gold, where you would probably anticipate some steadying around 1150, or is it going to break lower? Well, in the absence of a clear upward dynamic, you'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. Well, when we look at the commodity complex, the continuous commodity index also extended its medium-term downtrend in here today. Oil continues to be one of the more volatile constituents, and well, WTI was relatively unchanged towards the close, but it rallied well off its lows. It was as low today as 47.33 and closed out the day a dollar above that. So there is still a lot of to and fro in the oil market, and Brent crude was stronger today by $1.37. Well, this is still a very volatile environment. Well, the lows that we saw in January are probably the lows for the move, but that this could be a lengthy and volatile process of base formation development. And I guess the most important factor is that we haven't yet seen a major bankruptcy in the energy sector. And that's important because that would be a very swift removal of at least some of the supply in the market. Well, we might yet get that. With the kind of pressure that you're seeing being brought to bear on some of the Latin American producers, not least because they have sourced so much of their debt in US dollars, that the strength of the dollar is exacerbating the problems that they have from the weakness of the oil sector. When you click through the equity indices of Latin America, you can see that Venezuela, the currency is continuously devalued, but that you're seeing that, for example, the Chilean market, the Peruvian markets are all trending lower. And that's a pretty rare circumstance when you look at the rest of the world, that the vast majority of markets are in reasonably a reasonably steady condition, but that's certainly not the case for the majority of the Latin American markets. Well, the Brazilian market today was up by about 1%, but well, 1% on that index is a drop in the ocean compared to the kind of weakness that you're seeing in the real. That the Latin American currencies are really very weak in here. Well, when we look at stock markets more generally, then the euro is accelerating lower, and the euro stocks index is accelerating higher. Well, the CAC was stronger today by 2.3%, the DAX by 2.66%, the Italian index by over 2%. Well, they're responding to the weakness of the euro. If you redenominate some of those indices, then these are nominal performances, that in the very short term you haven't had the same sort of move in other currencies when you look at some of these indices. But that's probably to miss one of the important points, because the weakness of the euro is flattering the consolidated earnings of the export sector in Europe. That's certainly going to be a positive for the autonomies. But it's also handing a massive competitive advantage to some of these companies, that they're already running efficient operations, and the weakness of the euro is going to be a medium-term tailwind for the economies of Europe, and particularly those companies. So I don't think that it's an exaggeration to think of Europe today where the US market would have been a number of years ago, that we're just at the dawn of a massive quantitative easing program, and if nothing else, quantitative easing is very effective in inflating asset prices, and that's exactly what we're getting here in Europe at the present moment. Well, Wall Street is closing out the day just a little bit weaker. It continues to close its overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, and shares that were really very overextended. I think it was towards the end of last week I posted a list of US companies and ordered them by their overextensions relative to the 200-day moving average. And, well, anything that is very overextended runs the risk of mean reversion at the current moment. But when you look at these indices, they were a little bit overbought, and that's being unwound. We don't have any clear evidence of top formation development that this really doesn't to be look like anything more than a consolidation of what have been very powerful gains. We would really need to see a break in the progression of higher reaction lows, and then the indices encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average subsequently, and we're a long way from that. Well, considering that we just have a wall of liquidity hitting the market, and that liquidity is both global and mobile, then the liquidity-fueled environment in which this bull market over the last 6 years has been predicated is still very much intact. Well, I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.